你看你看。
Thank you. Moderator ID accepted. All guests are currently unmuted. To mute all guests, press #. For help with host options, press *0. You will now be connected with the conference.
Someone gonna post something on the chat so that they have a dial in.
Oh. We'll have to revive this machine.
Okay. And then Ken takes over here. There we go.
All right, I'm going to be reporting on what happened in Hackathon Project HC04. This is the content hack, leveraging semantics of an ontolog PSMW. So on slide 2, I'll give you a little background behind this. This is actually a meeting among quite an extensive collection of independent projects that have been going on for some time and are continuing, actually. And they came together on a common theme, which is infrastructure development related to ontology evaluation across the ontology lifecycle. In other words, the theme of this summit. So there were a number of things that we wanted to accomplish in various projects. Survey existing tools dealing with ontology quality and fitness. So that's the survey. We wanted to develop some collaboration tools for this summit, not for evaluation, but for the summit itself. Semantically annotate the content for the topics involving ontology evaluation. Developing tools for querying and representing this content, and then integrate this content with the previous summit, something that we haven't been that good at in the past. The summits all ended up being pretty much independent, and with the ontolog environment in general, so ontolog forum, and so those are, you know, kind of general goals that we had hoped to at least get started on. And possibly even interoperation with other kinds of collaboration tools than just the ontolog wiki, and allow for us to extend and to dynamically evolve all of this content. So these are all the various missions, not so much this hackathon, so much as the various projects that came together for this hackathon. So the intersection among all these different groups was this common basis the common basis for all these projects is this website. So it all came together in that all of them are using this summit website as kind of a common platform. The common platform software is called Purple Semantic Media Wiki, about which I'll be saying a little more in a moment. The survey, for the first time, is part of the wiki, rather than being a separate survey software. And this allows for us to dynamically maintain this information about ontology quality and fitness, so that new tools can be added after the summit symposium, and also the existing tools can update their answers. So this is all new to this particular summit. We haven't done this kind of survey before. Then we also wanted the summit website to be semantically annotated. We are doing ontologies. We ought to what's the term? Eat our own dog food. We just have not been using ontologies within our own collaboration framework. We should. Now we are. Then also the community wiki content is also being migrated so that we can integrate all of the previous Summit and all the Summit content and from previous years, and also other Ontolog content. And that's, again, on that same platform. So all of these things have in common this platform that we use for the annotation, for the dynamic content, and so on. And the ontology that we're using behind all of this is actually an extension of the Integrated Collaboration Object Model. That's an OASIS standard, ICOM for short. So this is a list of the main projects that were involved, the Purple Semantic Media Wiki project, the survey team, the website team, the content migration project, and then the a mapping project that was mapping ICOM to Purple Semantic Media Wiki. And so each of these is really an independent project that was ongoing before the hackathon, and they came together at this hackathon to share their experiences, to solve problems that are of mutual interest. The first one actually is more than just one project. It is, in fact, quite a few. There's the MediaWiki part, which is the technology of Wikipedia and related. Or I should say, I haven't been keeping up with the slide numbers. This is slide number 5. Then this is the technology of Wikipedia and related websites. So it's the it's the most popular WikiSolve software out there. Then there's Semantic Media Wiki is a large project based in Karlsruhe, and it's adding the semantics to Media Wiki. Then there's the Halo project that's providing the Halo extension, and then the project of mine at Northeastern University and also CIM3. Peter's organization is providing the fine-grained access via the this Purple Media Wiki extension project. So PSMW is actually, as you can see here, multiple projects. So let's begin by looking at the survey. So it now uses a semantic form, and it's integrated with the Summit website. And a large number of questions are grouped into tabs. The tabs are not exactly corresponding to phases, but then again, as the communique indicates, we don't actually know precisely what those phases should be. But perhaps over time we can rearrange things so that it's a little closer to the correct phases. One thing we were concerned with, particularly at the hackathon, was to try to find a way to change the appearance of the survey form compared to the rest of the website. So the idea would be when you come to the survey form, you're not using the same skin, it's called, that you use in the rest of the wiki. And there is a way of doing that, but it is kind of tricky to get it to work properly. So we made some progress on that, but we didn't actually solve this problem at the hackathon. And of course, there's the semantic annotation of the content, which is an introduction of a class for the survey, and then various properties that the survey answers represent. So this was the kind of thing that was worked on at the hackathon. Although a lot of the survey stuff was already done at that point, what we were doing at the hackathon was just improving the presentation and improving the appearance. This particular hackathon, I guess, is mainly concerned with hacking, actually. We were writing code of various kinds. Finding ways to improve things, trying to solve problems. So that's what the survey looks like when you come to it. And then at this point, I believe we have 13 tools already, but we hope to get a few more soon into the survey. And then when you click on that survey, so that previous one, I should say, if you look back, go back to this. So this is actually the page that shows you the class. And at the bottom here, on that slide, this is slide number 7, you see a list of all of the instances of that class. So we modeled the survey as a class whose instances are the particular entries that were made in the survey. And so each of these survey entries has its own page, and that page has all the answers to the survey. When you click on Continue with Survey, it then just gives you the entry form with the tabs at the top. That's slide 8. That shows you how to enter the information. So then slide 9, there was another project called the website project. Of course, this is the one that did the whole summit website. And the idea was to organize the content in a way that would facilitate better access to it, in particular to annotate it with an ontology, and the ontology is the ICOM ontology. So this provides and enables new functionality, new views, and a lot more functionality compared to the previous website. And during the hackathon, we were concerned with developing and deploying some new constructs, in particular new forms, new templates, improving the templates that we already had, looking at ways of developing queries, extracting information from the ontology from the survey, for example, but other parts of the website as well for presentation and for interoperation with other collaboration tools. So the interoperation with other collaboration tools is enabled by using the ICOM ontology, which is a standard for collaboration tools. So slide number 10, this shows that wiki homepage, which is really quite attractive. Let's see, that what's that an image of?
Some mountain in Argentina.
So this is the summit up at the top there. Beautiful view. I guess it's in Argentina. Ali? Oh, is he on? Ali?
No, essentially this contribution is from, what's her name?
Or is it from Marcella?
Marcella Vigetti. And actually, she took this picture.
Marcella took that picture at Argentina.
Okay, great. Do you happen to know what mountain that is? No, I guess not. So,
not off the top of my head, no.
So this is really very nice. Very nice website. I mean, they definitely deserve a lot of credit for developing this. Ali already told you about that yesterday. Then the content migration is concerned with using the content that was developed in the Ontolog community for 11 years now. Is that right, Peter? Yeah.
We are on the 12th year, actually.
It's actually 12 years now.
Yes, no, 11 years have come and gone.
Okay, so nice. We're starting the 12th year. This is a really rich, collection of content available. And we, you know, which exists on the site, but it's not really as available because it's hard to find things. We need to annotate it, but we also need to migrate it to the new platform so that we can do all this annotation. The existing platform does not have that capability. So this content migration it's been done primarily by Peter and one of my students, Tejas Parikh, and it's been an ongoing effort, and it's just been a lot of problems getting the two different concepts together, and that was an ongoing effort which we continued to do work on during this hackathon session. Todd?
Does this content transfer include the email?
It doesn't include email just yet.
It does not.
But that's okay. Something we're looking at, definitely. It's hard enough just getting the regular content. Okay, and then slide 12, the mapping from ICOM to PSMW is itself an interesting idea because it's true that they provide, kind of an RDFS support for RDFS triples on Semantic Media Wiki, but exactly how do you map them? As it turns out, for each class in your ontology, when you map it, it actually becomes four pages. There's a page, the template page, and then that just specifies the properties of the class, a form page that allows you to create new instances of the class, a category page, which is their classification mechanism. You have to have that in order to have instances of a category. And then an ordinary page as well is useful just to have an instance that basically describes what the category is. And that you can easily use as sort of the target of other properties. So it's very interesting that you end up with this whole collection of these objects for one class. For properties, on the other hand, it's just one page. It just defines the type of the property. And then we have a translator that does this, and it just uses web services to upload and update the pages. So doing it directly with the wiki would not be very reasonable because say making a small change to one class means that you have to go in and edit four pages. And this is what the ontology looks like. Just wanted to give you a feeling for it here. I don't know if there's any time to actually go into details about it, but the key thing to remember about mapping to Semantic Media Wiki or Media Wiki in general is that the objects are pages. And so you have to have a page as a representative of any object that you want to annotate. We are trying to extend this a little bit so that you can actually annotate parts of the page, in particular the purple numbers, but it still means that the objects have this kind of wiki representation. They all have to have this way of being. They all have to exist as something in the wiki in order for it to have a meaning in this framework. So it's kind of an interesting thing. It's just, a lot of what you might think would be good things to have in the ontology, maybe not so good when you're mapping it to the wiki. Okay, but it's still an interesting exercise to map it over. So what I've been doing is mapping the ICOM ontology. Haven't mapped it all, but I mapped part of it, and this is these are the parts that I took out. Fortunately, they actually have a class called Conference. But from their point of view, a conference is just a page or like a folder where you put information about the conference. It's not actually it doesn't really represent the conference itself. You see, so it's kind of interesting. You have to get used to these these distinctions when you're mapping to this framework. That's slide 13. Slide 14 is just an indication of all the different mappings that underlie some of the things that I've been doing in, so this is just one example of the mappings that are involved. Mappings among the different ontology languages are now getting to be quite well supported. So I think this is definitely, a place where I think we're going to get a lot more activity very soon among the various projects. Then finally, a list on slide 15 of the participants. As you can see, it's participants from quite a number of institutions and countries that were involved in this activity. I believe that's all. And sorry, I think I'm a little bit over. But are there any questions? Todd?
Are you running the reasoner with it? I forget the name of the reasoner.
We haven't enabled the reasoner.
Have not?
No, there is a way of enabling reasoning
and
a Sparkle endpoint, for example, on the wiki, but we haven't done that yet.
Okay.
We've done a lot of other things that, it's on our list, and we're hoping to get to that eventually. And we even actually discussed that issue at the hackathon, but, we haven't actually done it yet. Steve?
Sorry, I missed the very beginning, but is there a way to query it then? Is there a query line?
Yes, that was one of the things that we were working on in the hackathon.
Okay.
Was they have their #ask query language.
I saw a little bit of that yesterday, right, somewhere.
Yeah, you might have seen this in the, I think Ali who talked about it.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that we were doing in the hackathon was to develop these. But they're not Sparkle. They're just this wiki language for doing queries because it basically maps, these matches to the wiki format, so it kind of mixes the query with the formatting, which is great for wikis, but it's a little awkward when you're trying to get the semantics of a query.
Just a quick follow-up. So who invented it's the PSMW PSM whatever. People who invented this query language and...
No, that's Semantic Media Wiki. The
query language is
Semantic Media Wiki. PSMW consists of Media Wiki,
uh-huh.
The Semantic Media Wiki extension
uh-huh.
out of Karlsruhe, and that's where you get all of these
uh-huh.
semantic features. Then there's the Purple Number extension, and I believe you're also using parts of the Halo extensions.
There are multiple semantic related extensions, one major one would be, let's say, semantic form and semantic drill down by Jeroen Koren, with 13% on the Ontolog PSMW debut session. Yes.
We had a session about it, and we talked about these. Yeah, Semantic Media Wiki is not just one extension. It's actually a whole collection of these extensions. And you have to pick which ones are going to be appropriate for your particular site.
It's a whole environment, and much like, let's say, Protégé, where you could pick a lot of different extensions.
Oh, this is a huge effort. I mean, they have major conferences every year on this. And,
you're comparing to Protégé in terms of this?
No, Semantic Media Wiki encompasses, as Peter said, a lot of additional add-ons packages. I forget what they call it. Protégé, in comparison, is really tame and well-controlled, shall we say.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way of putting it. It's Media Wiki community isn't that well-controlled. It's open source, and some of those extensions are really not very good. Amanda?
I just want to share an observation I also put in chat. You were commenting on the oddness from a traditional ontology perspective of everything being a page and so forth, and there being sort of a strange indirection feeling about it that way. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to comment that's a really good sign that what you really have is a subject classification structure, and rather than traditional hierarchy. And there are two ways to very easily adapt that into an ontological way of thinking. One is, well, they differ in ease, actually. One is to understand the subclass relationship as actually being the information science broader, narrower relationship. The other way is to understand all of your class names as actually containing an elision. Usually that would just be information about, right? In this case, it's more specific to pages about. So when it says conference, it's actually pages about conference, right? And I mention that because I see this a lot in reuse cases where people are trying to take something like LCSH or something else that was meant as a subject hierarchy and import it as an ontology. And it's actually very doable if you make those substitutions, and if you don't, you get a lot of faulty inference. So I just wanted to share that this was a great example of that pattern.
Okay. Yeah. Now, since Amanda, you're talking, you're next, okay, so you can come over and talk about the ontology as well. Thank you, Ken. No slides here? I guess not.
Yes, I have some questions.
Okay, so go ahead.
Do whatever you need. Well, I guess I can look here. That'd be easier. Why am I like reload? Well, I got it. I've got it. Okay, so those participating remotely, you may also have to refresh your session page to get the slide link. So this presentation is about the Ontology of Ontology Evaluation Hackathon, which I guess I don't have to tell you what it's about. Slide two. The vision behind this particular hackathon was, as Ken mentioned, the use what you make idea. But also, two other motivators were to use the ontological analysis process to try and dig further into some of the topics that were being discussed in the summit sessions, but we didn't have time to go in detail on, and also to create an actual ontology that could be used. One of the first use cases to be identified was that this ontology could be supplied to the Purple Semantic Media Wiki team to help annotate the contents of this conference. As I revealed my secret plans yesterday, I also envision usage of such an ontology in, for one thing, representing and aligning the models and methods and criteria that various kinds of tools and evaluation practices use, and potentially, I hope, sometime for use in repositories where to keep information on evaluations that have been performed over particular ontologies and what those results were. So all those are potential use cases for such an ontology. List of participants there. Sorry, Astrid, your name got bent over two lines there. That's Astrid Duke-Ramos, not two different people. And there are links here to the original hackathon page, which gives you a snapshot of the intermediate documents and how things went. I won't go into detail there. And a a collection of both the original outputs of the hackathon and continuing development product within the community library. Actually, before I say more, I want to say about, you know, I said, here's the vision, here's the reality. We had one day. That's actually more constrained than that, because we had the unanticipated late realization that we were on Easter weekend. So the reality was that even that one day was pretty constrained and for a lot of people. And while we scheduled in the possibility of a second day, the reality was that very few people were going to have any time to offer on that second day. So based on that reality, even if we'd had a full weekend, we had to scope down the vision to what we could reasonably accomplish, and we focused on the ontological analysis, informal modeling. Actually, I should put requirements gathering in there too, although some of that was done ahead of time. And at live time, we just used very simple graphing with very little constraint on it, unfortunately very little functionality as well, but to try and capture our analysis as it was going, and also text documentation on the side. So our first step, and this was part, the first section of this was done sort of beforehand. We had an initial statement of requirements that listed some of the things that we wanted to cover. And that went out as part of the initial description of the hackathon when we invited participants and stuff. And I won't read through it in detail. You can do that. But it basically was talking a lot of the main entity and relation types that had that were coming up during some discussion related to evaluation. And the envisioned uses were part of that requirements development as well. And we also, if you look at the outputs of in that previous library link, one of our outputs is a 30-something, maybe 40-something page document that has no overall coherence. It's not a written text, but it includes things that we gathered from different pieces of Summit materials as immediately relevant to what we wanted to capture. So that includes listings of ontology characteristics, detailed metrics and methods and measurements, usage factors, all these different things that have been discussed, and you know, for each of the presentations that contained such a list of methods, you know, we grabbed those out. So we had a quick sort of run through of the various ways that people were presenting those, what they were focusing on, how they faceted them into groups. This is just a sample of part of what we did as the requirements development. We didn't cover all the ground of that huge document, but some of that content was sort of translated into the sort of intermediate English identification of things we wanted this ontology to say, right? So this is just a sample of that, and again, I'm not going to read through it, but as a result, the output of this hackathon, we ended up with drafts of quite a lot of concept definitions and some of the associated terminology, and we created subgraphs, and we started trying to work on one great big graph, but obviously this very quickly became unwieldy. So we said, okay, understanding that these are all going to get integrated into one model, it occurs on one graph with a certain name, it's the same on another graph with that name. We created subgraphs around some of the focal concepts, and those are that's actually a list of the subgraphs we created. We did this partially in parallel and partially all together. So we took chunks of time, and people, you know, took responsibility for one or more subgraphs and tried to capture what we'd said so far. And then everybody looked through them and made some modifications. And something I found particularly beneficial in feeding back into the summit overall, we covered some ground as a group thinking about ontology usage, which, you know, and the details of what goes into that, and how requirements development happens, and how requirements and metrics relate. In particular, we looked at sort of various characteristics of people identified and started to model how a general sort of flat list of all these things and another one of requirements can be used to represent what a particular, how a particular tool or method breaks these things down and applies them with characteristics. And Aquera was the example there. So Astrid did a graph of all the Aquera metrics for us, for based on that the Aquera tree that they had already, and we sort of mapped that in. At the end of our hackathon, we took away a to-do list of things that we are immediate, you know, sort of things that we absolutely want to finish out of this one day's work. And we made commitments to, you know, consolidate those subgraphs into a single informal model in graphs. I took that job. I decided to use concept maps for that particular task in English. And we have a to-do to import or align with the ICOM and OMB vocabularies in related areas, in particular the ICOM because of the relevance to the Purple Semantic Media Wiki, and the OMB because there's a lot of meta-ontological vocabulary in there that seemed to be, that we could reuse. To-dos to formalize this in OWL. Mike Dean actually already made a pass at that. That's going to be revisited after the informal models are completed and reviewed, but I'm getting on to status, which is a later slide. Formalize it in CLIF. Evaluate and compare those different hand-generated versions and see that could be interesting on its own. And when, you know, once we have a first pass that's gone through all that, put it out there. See if it's any use. And this is just a sample. Sorry, I forgot to call it slides. This is slide seven. A sample of a subgraph, right? And you can see it's very busy, and it's just a tiny subgraph, but that kind of tells you something about how detailed we were getting. This is the subgraph around ontology usage, which is something that we talked about during the summer sessions, but we weren't able to spend time really analyzing what goes into this. We pointed at it a lot, but within this within our hackathon session, we sort of talked more about, okay, well, and usage involves, you know, there's some background, something has created this usage to be envisioned, and this project to be started. It involves some kind of ontology application. It involves obviously an ontology, which is somewhere, there it is, way down here, used in that usage. Supports some processes performed by some agents, happens in some operational environment, which contains, you know, various aspects. And again, this is an incomplete informal model. Gary, yeah? Yeah,
one thing about, this is from the old object-oriented days, one thing that's always useful to have is when you have these models that involve processes as well as objects, it's nice to have a simple way of seeing the distinction between,
right,
them. Because when you're...
Yeah, and we didn't get to that point probably, and I mean, just as a matter of time and how we were working, we did not get to the point of we really didn't have time to set up conventions and complete all these sort of maps, and that's part of the going forward. What we did try to do is capture in the accompanying text, the details that should be clear from that. So at least it's there,
right,
but it's not.
I just wanted to make the additional point that since we're talking about things like the ontology life cycle, the process,
yes,
is so important.
Yes. Sorry. And this is the last slide here. And this is just status. I already referred to some of this, what's going on with it. it's mostly in progress or next up. I want to emphasize that this is going to be a continuing activity. Most of us who are involved in it felt strongly that it would be useful and worth our time to continue. And at the end of this afternoon's official summit activities, we will have a little informal get-together for anybody who's interested in getting involved with this to plan next actions.
Okay. And now time for questions. Debbie,
I guess we have some time for questions. Let me see. Where are we?
Amanda? Oh, yeah. I wanted to... Where is the evaluation in that diagram? I see the evaluation criteria, but how did you see the evaluations?
So you see,
Where is the
bottom?
It's on the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually gonna. Well, here.
Here
is the evaluation process.
Yeah.
Way over on the right. But remember, this is a subgraph that's focused on a particular concept. So if you go back to the list of subgraphs, the evaluation process, that one has evaluation event and outputs and so forth around it. So the evaluation is in a sense in the whole thing, right? We're trying to get across all the subgraphs a picture of sort of all the things that go into this. Not just sort of the event and the process itself, but all the inputs, outputs, considerations, things related to it. But
no, yeah, that's great. I just wanted to know where it was.
It's there.
I'm sorry I couldn't make it. I wanted to be at that session. I'll come to the Birds of Feather.
Great. Super. Did we consider mentality? Can you say, Hamiza, can you say in specifically which meta-ontology I've seen, although associated with a few? I think you may be involved in the provenance. I'm not sure. But I can answer generally that we took a general note we talked about OMB in particular, but we also took a general note about the provenance ontology and others that are out there that we certainly want to make a more careful survey than we had time to do in that one day and see what's reusable. That would specifically, I think, we did not talk about that one.
Sorry. Well, Hamka is typing an answer.
Do you listen to me?
Yes.
Oh, great. Greetings to all from Moscow.
Greetings.
Yeah, it is 1:30 till midnight now in Moscow. And I'm ready to tell you if you want it.
Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah, you're next.
Yeah, and then first slide, please.
Okay.
And do you see?
Let me come back 1 minute here. This is Ram here again. Well, it's 2:20, but we are 10 minutes delayed. But in any case, you can start now. Let me see. I'm going to get your slides here, and I think someone has to be pushing the slides, I guess. Okay, we are ready here.
I can give you a link to chat for details.
You have 20 minutes now from... Okay, someone has... What is the slide here?
Okay, yeah, this one. Thank you. And you see that we have hackathon section 6 about very specific subject. ISO 15926 reference data validation. And you should understand that this is reference data. This is a special term for ontology in ISO 15926 community. Second slide, please. We have a bunch of ideas and goals, but we have one day and we perform only a small amount of tasks, but we want to fulfill maximum of goals to share a community of ISO 15926 ideas with ideas that we can borrow from general ontology world, like ontology forum. Because we understand that we are ontologists, but not quite a standard type. And let us see what we achieve. Third slide, please. For the first, we have our main artifact. This is ontology that captured in a file so-called PCA-RDL. And this is Post-Cesar Association Reference Data Library. This is all file with non-standard structure to ontology than a plain all file. I tell to you further, but this is about 2,800,000 triples in it, and this is a rather huge file. This is about 178 megabytes in it, and what we want to do, we want simply evaluate it. And you see in this slide different resources how you can get this file in all form, all or in Sparkle endpoint. In this hackathon, we work mainly with all file. It's quicker. Next slide, please, number four. And the main difficulty that this is not standard representation on most important things in ontology. In standard RDF, we have some kind of label, and then we have specialization and classification as usual. In JORC PCA representation that we have in part 7, and specifically part 8 of our standard, we have representation that is reified. And that, this means that we can't use any of our instruments here. And you see it directly from this chunk of code. Our instruments should somehow carry this refine of classification and specialization. And thus we have special tools for this. And fifth slide, please. And we have two organizers, in fact. Fifth slide, please. We, in fact, have two organizers. Myself and Viktor Agroskin. Viktor was in charge mainly for technical part of this, and I try to care about some organizing moments, and some organizing. And we have very big difficulties with our event, because when we start in California, it was 3 a.m. And thanks to Peter Yim that have greetings to our start. It was not even morning, not even evening, and directly 3 a.m. But in Europe, it was too early too. But we have all the time zone participants, and this is was most complex for us in international participation. And we have five participants in Moscow from different organizations. And this is was in the office of TechInvest Lab, and other people come from Moscow, St. Petersburg, Surgut, Kyiv, Zurich, and they some of them was lurking, and some of them was working online. And main interaction was in Moscow, St. Petersburg, and Zurich. In Moscow, it was main Viktor Groskin that is understand ontology of 15926 most and suggest what we should to do. In St. Petersburg, it was programmer that have real coding of ideas of Viktor. And in Zurich, it was mathematician that suggest graph algorithms to have reasonable time of calculation. And it was three people that have most input to this effort. And my task was chatting and have a minutes in chat what we do in all of this. And several times we have joining experts from United Kingdom, Spain, and USA. It was very interesting and truly international and truly virtual and real. Next slide, please, six. And we decide that we will go in short iterations. For example, we can select or test or metrics. I have discussion what it means in the source, and after this discussion, what it means to ISO 15926. This is most tough part, and this is very difficult part. Then we should have implementation, test on real data. Usually, we discover that this is too slow. And have and try several different algorithms, and then preliminary documentation of results directly into ontology of summit chat. And next, please, slide seven. We have several tools here. We have tools. We have present people in this hackathon with several tools, but succeed only in our .15926 editor. And other tools were tried, but have no result, sorry. And all tests and calculations of all the metrics and all the tests and all evaluations executed as Python scripts in our editor. And I posted a link to full report. You can find full report in Ontology Summit mail list with code chunks that we developed. And next slide, eight. And we have not all the reference data set. We have only subset of reference data set. We have no in account to classes of classes, hierarchies, and this is used mainly to classifications, classificators. And we also not use classes of express information that is correspond to literal data types in mainstream or ontology, because we are we have in hand not classical all ontology, and there are many different things in there. We have only main taxonomy of classes to our analysis. And, next slide, nine. And then we have verification of reference data or verification of ontology. We try to find free class identification that not belong that are not subclasses to any class from the root of this ontology. This is we saw 15.9.26 part 4 sync, so-called root of all the main ontology, and there is about 58,000 of objects in this PCA RDL, and we identified 823 classes, and some of them have their own subtaxonomies, and these classes not belong to this main taxonomy. And this is expectable because one of the thinking about this post-Caesar association reference data library is a like a vocabulary. This is not like full-fledged ontology, maybe in small part, but the one of the users of it, it's vocabulary, and you see this immediately pop up. And we find several cycles, but this is a special case too, because ISO 15926 based on non-when founded sets assumption. And we are not knowing whether this cycle are valid or not valid, and this is a case of verification. And next slide, 10, please. And then we simply calculate or acquire a quality matrix for reference data. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 metrics from a bunch of them, but it was most difficult part to have all the understanding what it means to our ontology and how to calculate it on this huge data set. And we have no normalizing this metric score results, and we simply calculate numerical value. And code for this you can find in detailed report. Next slide, please. And we deliver our results to a community of ISO 15926. And these results are discussed by community of maintainers of ISO 15926 PCA RDL ontology set. And then we think that we have a matrix that can compare some kind of our ontology with other pure all-based ontologies. And we have cooperation of many people from different countries that work together, and it seems to me this is a very interesting result. We try to have such a distance type of work and have understanding of what infrastructure, online infrastructure and offline infrastructure we need to not simply, for example, participate in ontology summit event, but to really hack something with ontology and with ontology tool code. And for me, the one of the most interesting result, it was quality time and fun. And I not remember in such a fun up to that was about one day long in our community for a long time. This is, it seems to me, even more fun than even in conference and meetings, because this is not, this is fun not about of knowing something, but this is fun from actual work, and this is rather unusual. And I value this fun from this event most of all, more than calculated metrics on, and more than this evaluation report, verification reports. And it seems to me this is, for me, this is one of the main results. And I speak with other people that consider that yes, this socializing of ontology is very important for them. They have value in it too. And next slide, please. And you see the links to full report, and you see the links to the editor to simply repeat what we calculate there with this report. And Anatoly Levinchuk, Viktor Agroskin, thank you.
Well, I guess we have four minutes for questions. Any questions out there?
No questions. Thank you.
No questions? Otherwise, Anatoly, thank you very much, and Dasvidaniya.
Dasvidaniya, too.
well, you're still listening. Okay, now we have the next speaker. Is on OntoHub. Who's going to talk on OntoHub?
Phil Bozakowski, are you on the call?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. We are on, let me see here now this. I think you can make it a full page here. Pardon? Okay, Till, go ahead.
Okay. Let's come to the last of this marathon of hackathons. This is about OntoHub, the Open Ontology Repository OOR, and the Ontology Evaluation Tool OOPS. Could you proceed to slide 2, please? On my VNC channel, I still see allow or deny for full screen, so I'm not sure whether this is delayed or...
I don't know what... we are on... You just said keep moving. That's about it. That's okay. We are on slide 2.
Yeah, but I cannot see the slides on the VNC channel. But I can, of course, use my own slides. Slide 2. From the Open Ontology Repository, there was Ken Klafsky and Peter Gim. OR, as you know, is a joint effort for an ontology repository that significantly goes beyond BioPortal, that has a more loosely coupled architecture where different services are integrated, and this also goes beyond just OWL. And current implementations of OR are BioPortal and OntoHub. OntoHub has been present with myself, with Daniel Kuto-Walle, and four programmers. OntoHub is a web-based repository engine much like BioPortal for distributed heterogeneous ontologies written in multi languages, so that's going beyond BioPortal. There's a prototype available at OntoHub.org, and the midterm goal of OntoHub is actually to implement the full OR architecture and API. And the third project is OOPS, and Maria Poveda Villalon was there from Spain, actually. So we had the U.S., Germany, and Spain. And OOPS is an ontology evaluation tool, and we have seen it in previous talks today already. So slide 3. So what are the results of this hackathon? The first result is an integration of OOPS into the output of ontohub.org in the display of the classes and properties. And so you can see the code in on GitHub, where we have developed the code on this hackathon day. And the functionality is provided online at staging.ontohub.org. So that's basically the experimental development of ontohub.org. You can see the most recent features, whereas ontohub.org itself is the stable productive version. The second result was an architecture and a web service API integrating all these three projects and also possibly other software tools and environments. And we started with BioPortal with the API there, which is also the current OR API, and integrated both ontohub's perspective that there can be multiple ontology languages and also the OOPS perspective. So Anna will provide details for these two results. So slide 4, please. So here you can see a demo. So you see the ontohub staging webpage and some ontology from Manchester. And you have a button there, test with OOPS. And then slide 5, if you press the button, then you have a kind of pending
which one? This one?
State there and some refresh button. And this will in the future be automatically refreshed. And so now the external OOPS service is called. And there is an XML protocol that OOPS speaks, and we have just interfaced to that with ontohub. And on slide 6, now you see OOPS state is done, and there have been 4 responses. And currently we are, you can see the different tabs with different kinds of symbols or entities in our annotation properties, individuals, classes, object properties and sentences, or the formulas themselves. And for the annotation properties, there are obviously no OOPS results, but if you click on classes, then you can see that person, okay, there are missing annotations. So that's basically a result that OOPS has sent to ontohub. So, of course, this display can be much improved, that you can more quickly get an overview of what the annotations, of what the hints and warnings and errors from OOPS are. But yeah, this is just the first version. So slide 8, it's important to mention that ontohub's notion of ontology is generic. So an ontology is just a set of symbols, and each symbol has a certain kind. And these kinds vary from ontology language to ontology language. So in OWL, you have classes, object properties, data properties, individuals. As you have seen on the previous slide, and you have the tabs for the different symbols. In logic, you have names and sequence markers. In first logic, you have predicates and function symbols. And then you have also in an ontology a set of sentences, which can be axioms, definitions, or theorems. And all this also has a certain semantics that can be looked up into the onto-IOP standard, where we define the distributed ontology language. And all the objects can be identified by IRIs. So this is quite important. If you go back to slide 7, the display of the ontologies might not be as fancy as, for example, in BioPortal, where you have immediately the class hierarchy there and so on. But the achievement here is that we are basically independent of the ontology language, and then we're much more generic. And of course, at some stage, we want also to display class hierarchies, but this is what this is if we go to other languages. And of course, the integration of OOPS is basically restricted to OWL because OOPS is based on OWL. So now going back to slide 8 and then to slide 9. So concerning the architecture, on the left-hand side, you see the OOR architecture, where you have at the bottom a persistence layer where the data is stored, an administration layer where you can register as a user and log in and so on. Then you have a find layer where you can search your ontologies, an inference layer where you can call reasoners like valid and factor or proven 9 and sparse for first order things. You have federation for integrating different repositories. You have a presentation layer for viewing things in a nice way. You have a workflow layer where you actually define how this set of services actually used for a specific purpose. And you have a registrar where you can register approved workflows. So that's the OOR architecture, but that's quite theoretical so far, so it has not been implemented. BioPortal is an implementation, but that does not follow this architecture. And AutoHub on the right-hand side, you can see that it doesn't follow much this architecture either. But we have, so AutoHub is written in Ruby on Rails, and we have the model view controller framework there, and you can somehow identify presentation and workflow there, and also administration. We have a database for persistence, and we have actually different external service for find and for inference, namely Tomcat Solar for searching and the heterogeneous toolset, and with various theorem provers like Spaß and Vampire and Valid and Fact for inference. But the plan is that we adapt AutoHub successively to the OR architecture, but importantly, while keeping a running system so that this really actually runs. So slide 10. So this is the proposed new architecture. So it's still kind of AutoHub centered. So it's not as decoupled as the OR architecture, but it goes already much into the OR direction because things are decoupled in a strong way. And so, for example, for the presentation layer, currently AutoHub is used itself, can generate web pages, but we want to integrate WebProtégé such that all ontologies can be presented nicely, and also for first order ontologies, we will follow some hints given by Adam Pieses, Sigma environment, and so that we can actually then present different ontologies in a nice way. And in the Hackathon 05 ontologies, we have also had the example that there is an OWL ontology and a common logic ontology, and the question, how can they be compared? And AutoHub would be the setting actually to do this comparison. Then we have actually parsing and static analysis will be a separate service, also because certain ontologies are very large and we need specialized tools to handle this. Then we have evaluation on the right-hand corner. Currently we have only OOPS, but we have already learned from OOPS. I show you this later on. What could be a general interface for such evaluation tools that goes beyond the specific approach of OOPS. Then we have local inference, where we have provers like Colored Fact, Sparse Vampire, also the heterogeneous toolset. And we also have some guy integrating Isabel via an interactive interface that will be much more sophisticated. We have distributed inference where we have distributed topologies. So, for example, if you want to compare in Hackathon 05, this OWL version of the ontology of ontology evaluation and the CommonLogic version, then you need some kind of distributed inference where you compare different things and you have to generate from this, say, interpretation of theories or from some ontology alignments, you have to generate certain proof obligations that then can be discharged with local inference. On the left-hand side, in the middle, you have federation. Federation means that different OntoHub instances can speak with each other and exchange data. And you want also to exchange data with BioPortal instances, since currently there are a number of BioPortal instances online with different domains. And, of course, we want to integrate that. Then we have admin and persistence. Persistence will be implemented soon based on Git repositories, and that means that you have a version control and Git also allows branching. And via Git SVN, we also will integrate Subversion, and that means that you can also work on the Colore CommonLogic repository, which is Subversion based, and can directly in OntoHub change this, for example, if you want, and propagate the changes to the Subversion. So that's the new architecture slide. Now I will come to the APIs. So basically, all these double arrows in this picture here stand for a certain API that governs the exchange of data. So 11. So we need several APIs. So we need one for federation. And there, the idea is to take the BioPortal API, because it's quite good in this respect, and generalize this to arbitrary logic so that it's not only R-based or say, related languages like OBO are also there, but, for example, Common Logic is not. And then we have inference and evaluation, we are happy that some people like Martin Ring, who actually work on theorem provers, will join the OntoHub scene soon. And persistence and admin, there is a project Bring It, which equips the Git repository with a web interface, kind of in the direction of GitHub, but GitHub is not open source, and Bring It will be open source. So. And this guy also will join the OntoHub team. And as I said, presentation, we will equip WebProtégé with an API, which is also a kind of issue for WebProtégé. So slide 12. So what was the plan for the Federation API? As I said, take the BioPortal API, generalize it to arbitrary logics. For example, kind of things like list all the latest version of ontologies, we can just key. Get all terms using the specific ontology version ID. There we have to generalize term to symbol. And list all latest version of all views. We need to drop this for now because these views assume a class hierarchy, and there are languages like Common Logic that don't have a class hierarchy. Maybe we can generalize later on if we know a way of speaking about classes in Common Logic as well. Okay, and the results of this API, of the new API, are basically collected in a Google Drive document that we have added during the hackathon day. And I will just briefly show some of the resulting APIs. So slide 13, it's basically the Federation API. So the Federation API now has a layer of logic services that's completely new with respect to BioPortal. So I always have marked here the new terms in red. So like list all ontology languages or supported logics of a language, serializations, logic translations, and so on. That's not there in BioPortal, but we need it if we deal with multi-language ontologies. Slide 14. Ontology services, basically we can keep most of the services that BioPortal provides. Just you see that in red here, ontology symbols. So instead of, say, classes or object properties, we generalize to ontology symbols. Slide 15, also the mapping services can be taken from BioPortal. Again, we see that the notion of symbol here instead of class or object property. Then slide 16, yeah, continued. There's a term there that should also be symbol. Sorry for that. Slide 17, parsing and static analysis. There we, for example, need a service getting all the kinds of symbols for a given ontology language. So you provide out the list, say, individual object property, class, data property. Or you provide common logic and you get name sequence mark. So that's quite important to have. And that's, of course, new with respect to BioPortal. Then we need to parse an ontology file, get all the symbols and the axioms in the specific ontology language. We also need to parse a DOL file. So DOL is the distributed ontology language, and get all the ontologies involved there and the ontology links or alignments in the distributed ontology. So a distributed ontology comprises several ontologies and links and bundles them into one entity. And we have also structuring constructs like combinations. You can align ontologies and form a combination where you get an overall integration of all the involved ontologies. That's also possible in DOL, and that's a quite specific service to parse DOL and compute all this. The heterogeneous toolset can do this. For the other things like parse an individual ontology language file, we will also need other services. For example, parse very large OWL files that cannot be handled by heads but can be handled by specialized OWL tools. Then there will also be services for translations of ontologies along logic or language translations. So it's also an important part of the API. Slide 18, that's about local inference. So, for example, you need a service to get the available inference tools by name, by language, or logic, and also by type, as a prover, model finder, checker, module extractor. You need prove open goals services for that. And luckily for the result of the proof, there is also an ontology, the SZS ontology by Jeff Sutcliffe. Model finding is another service, or disproving open goals, check conservativity of a link that's related to ontology modules. and module extraction. So these are different services. Slide 19. Here are some thoughts about the distributed inference API. It's not entirely clear. The idea is to use the heterogeneous tool set, and there is a so-called development graph calculus that can actually handle ontologies and their links. And the central objects are of their distributed ontologies, which are basically collections of ontologies and links, and they need to be closed under the import relation. And the problem is that this can become quite large, but probably we need something like that. And then distributed inference performs complex transformation on ontology and links of a distributed ontology. Then the question is how this proceeds in detail. I don't go into the details now. Slide 20, that's the API for evaluations and similar services. So the following abstraction has been developed from OOPS. The input is an ontology in a specific language. OOPS has more inputs, but these are not so relevant here, so we ignore them. And the output is a list of response elements of the following form, the type of the response. For OOPS, this is pitfall, warning, or suggestion. A code, internal code, a name, a strict description, and the list of involved symbols. And symbol is the important abstraction that glues this together with all the other assets. And in OOPS, you have more complex structured elements that can contain complex relation between symbols, and we prefer to decouple this into individual responses such that we can easily process this with this in this very simple API. So then there on page 21, you see some other services like annotator service, ontology recommender, and so on. And this is very specific sometimes to BioPortal and to OWL, and we need to think about generalizing this to the general OntoHub setting where we have multiple languages. Okay, thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you again, Kel. I don't think we have time for questions, so we have to probably conclude this, sir. Let me see, what do we have here? Yep. Mike, it's Michael Gruninger and Matthew West now, in terms of next steps.
Thank you, Ram. So actually, before we get to the next step, so what we'd like to announce now is, I say this is a very exciting summit with this idea of the hackathons. I think it was an incredibly valuable set of projects. Very impressed by all the work that was done. It's just amazing how much work got done. Global work, distributed work, just amazing. Like I said this morning, together with Matthew West and Neil Oberst, we kind of went through all of the different projects, through other presentations, and et cetera. We used a set of criteria, vaguely kind of on impact, the impact that the project has had, the novelty of the project, the amount of integration that the project involved, and finally the scale of the work. So these were some of the major criteria that we used. And so out of looking through, going through all of the different projects, the winner of the first annual Ontology Summit Hackathon Award is, any drum rolls or anything? The Hackathon Clinic number 3, the evaluation of OOPS, OQUERE, and OntoQA for FIBO ontologies, Mike Bennett and all. So the prize is a free membership for the International Association of Ontology and Applications, which sponsored the award. I'm not really sure now. I can't figure out how we were dividing that, if it was the leader, project leader, or all 15 members of the...
Well, as I say, there's certainly four people that did a huge amount of the work, that, you know, as much or more as I did, which is Astrid Duque-Ramos, Maria Pulveda Villalón, and Samir Tartier. A lot of others were involved from the fiber community and from this community and everything, but I think those three did as...
Okay, so that team, that core team, will then, each of them will get a free membership, 1 year membership with the association. And also there will be an amazingly beautiful certificate that will come with that, but that will be in the mail.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so congratulations again. Yeah.
That goes without saying.
Congratulations.
So that concludes all of the work with the hackathons. I would just like to finish up with a few thoughts, and Matthew can also can come up as well. So just to begin with recapping, this is one of the slides that I had at the introduction to the symposium yesterday morning, looking at the concrete outcomes that we anticipated for the summit. So, of course, there is the communique, which we heard about earlier today, and I hope everyone has had a chance to endorse the communique. There's a community library, the bibliography, that Amanda has helped assemble. There is the survey of all the different software environments and tools that are being used to evaluate ontologies. And then there was the hackathons, which we just heard about now. And we're really hoping that through these resources, we'll really continue to identify new evaluation criteria, best practices, methodologies. Again, some of the things that we've just started, I think one of the big accomplishments of the summit has been to identify some of these. So I just want to have a little bit of brainstorming, a little bit of discussion over some of the things that I would personally like to be able to see continue on from here. I really see this as being some really good first steps. And I really don't want to see this fade away in terms of the momentum that we have here. So one of the things I'd like to see in some of the next steps would be perhaps sometime in the fall to have a future series, perhaps, of ontolog sessions to revisit ontology evaluation. This is something that we did with, say, the Ontology-Based Standards Summit. We had a spin-off series of sessions, and we continue to have different sessions on ontology-based standards. This is something that happened with the Ontology Repository Summit, where it got incorporated into the OOR series of presentations and talks. So I'd really like to be able to have some sessions in the fall to kind of revisit a lot of the ideas that we're touching on in this summit over the past 3 months and over the past couple of days. I think one thing that would be really good would be to have something on the summit wiki that would allow people to add and augment additional notes with respect to points in the communique. I mean, the communique, in certain parts had to summarize contributions in order to make it a coherent document. But we already kind of heard people saying, it'd be nice if you could elaborate this, elaborate that. If we could have some way of having a living document where people could add additional information, additional references, again, and the growing the bibliography is another important thing there. A third point is, besides having the survey, again, it being very dynamic and actually being a database, so as Ken was mentioning, that you can actually go back and add additional information as a tool gets more functionality, you can change that. In addition to having people add more tools, one of the things I kind of found interesting was actually using the survey, perhaps even extending the set of questions in the survey, but using the survey as a way of capturing design features that could either be incorporated into existing tools or into new tools. Right. So the idea being that Mike Denny, when he assembled the questions for the survey, one thing would be to kind of go back and revisit some of those questions, maybe add questions or align them more carefully closely with the work that was done within the communique and other insights that we've had with respect to the summit. But to kind of look at some of those, and from the different people who are working on tools could say, oh, and there's an interesting piece of functionality that I think we could incorporate into the tools that we have. I think this is an interesting, maybe just looking at it from another perspective with respect to the survey. So this is something I would encourage people who are working on ontology evaluation tools to consider. Fourth point, taking a lot of the different evaluation criteria, like I noticed this particularly yesterday with the track A summary, that it was kind of implicit in a lot of the presentations that there were a set of evaluation criteria. You can go to, I think OOPS actually has a web page where they are collecting different evaluation criteria from their perspective. But you know, in general, we could do this as well and perhaps somewhere on the summit wiki to collect these. And the idea would be that you know, at some point we could distill this into a set of guidelines that people could follow. I think this is one thing this is one expectation I think perhaps some people had. They didn't quite see it, but I think this it would be something that can be an outcome over the next few months, would be to assemble a page like this. You know, whatever metaphor you want to use, a checklist or something like that, but have an actual page where there are an entire list of criteria, and then have, you know, community discussion on these. I think some of the discussion questions yesterday, again, from track A, and I think a little bit from track B, was, you know, what would be your top five criteria? Well, it would be good to actually have that set. If we had this complete set of criteria, a union of all the different criteria that people use, that could then serve as the basis for that. And again, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't intended to be an outcome that was in the communique explicitly. You know, maybe we didn't quite accomplish it before the symposium to have such a page, but I think this is something that we can do over the next few months. And these could also be incorporated, again, the last point I just wanted to make, into something like, you know, editorial guidelines for journal and conference papers. This is something I mentioned yesterday. You know, I've talked to different people who have come to me and said, oh, you know, the referees, you know, said I didn't do enough evaluation, but then the referees didn't really say what they were expecting in terms of evaluation. Another thing is if you look at other scientific journals, say, in particular, say, Nature, right, there's a very explicit set of guidelines over what is expected to be in a paper that you submit to the journal Nature. Now, that's the scientific methodology. You have an experiment. You have your problem, your hypothesis, your materials, your methods. There are conditions on what data analysis is supposed to be done, what constitutes enough data that you can actually reproduce an experiment. I think this is something that we could accomplish within the ontology community. So, you know, what are the standards, the quality, the evaluation criteria that we would want to see about an ontology in order for that to be a really good contribution in a paper? And so I say this could be incorporated into future journal and conference guidelines. So these are just some of the brainstorming ideas I had. Matthew, you had a few points you wanted to make, and then we can just open up for a few minutes discussion.
I love the way that we dovetail without actually trying, because my thoughts are actually about next year rather than this year. And by the way, I completely agree that we should do some wash-up stuff. Absolutely agree. My reflections are about innovations that we've introduced this year and how we might think of building on that in future years. And these are just ideas. And particularly if you don't like them, you need to come along to the wash-up sessions to make sure that they don't happen. So the innovations this year were the hackathons. It may not sound like an innovation, but the fact that the symposium was late, because that gave us some extra time to do things. The downside of that, I'm not quite sure why, but there are fewer people here than in previous years. In previous years, in this room, we would have had people sat round most of the seats sat round the walls. And in some years, there would have been two rows of seats with people sat on them at the back as well. So we're down on numbers, and that might also be because the symposium is late. It's hard to be sure.
Lots of people online this year.
Yeah, most of those people are also in the room. There are some people. We've had some people. I think there are about 10 or 15 people who aren't in the room, but it's that order of magnitude rather than everyone you see on the list. Yes.
As I've mentioned, the lack of
participation, shall we say, might be the subject matter itself.
Yeah, I think that may be true. I'm not trying to make a judgment. I'm only noticing that's the case.
We had 60 people registered.
Yes.
69 people registered.
Yes, and it would be interesting actually to find out what happened to some of the people that didn't come. Yeah, no, I know. That's right. The question is, I think it's worth finding out why that happened.
Is to charge a nominal fee, $10 or something like that, then only those who really want are going to come. And then for $10, you can provide things here.
Yeah, but for $10, if I really had a problem.
No, the problem is a lot of people who register just register anyway because it's free.
Well, those of you who are employed may find that not burdensome.
Not really, because the idea is to charge $10, but give back $10, okay, for like provide food or something like that around here. It's just to cover those. The thing is that when you have it free, anyone who gets a link to that is just going to anyways do it. And we've been having this in the past, the same problem.
There was an EA conference yesterday. Most of the enterprise architects would have attended that. It's a yearly conference, so that could be it.
I think it possibly is because it's not the sexiest subject. It's one of those things that's important but not sexy, and I suspect that's part of it. Interestingly, I think that in terms of what we've produced, it's I think arguably been the best summit. So it's not only if you're thinking about quality rather than quantity, I think we've actually excelled. But some of, and we weren't this year focused on trying to spread the word, and that might also be part of the reason why there aren't quite so many people here. Yes, Bob.
I really enjoyed this very much, and if you would like to broaden your visibility outside the inner circle of ontology people, you should adopt practices that are now widely used in the broader IT industry. For example, no meeting does not have a Twitter hashtag. None. But we don't. Well, we do, but I didn't know what it is, and it wasn't prominently up, and I don't know how many of you tweeted. Anyway, there's just strategies, and we could consider doing them in future years. That's all I want to say.
No, that's a really
broad
good idea.
Work too.
Amanda is our leader in this field, so... I know you put stuff on LinkedIn around.
Yeah,
I've
tweeted and Google Plus posted and so forth.
Yeah.
There's been a certain amount of pickup of that. I whined because the Twitter hashtag was too long, so it required sacrificing content or other hashtags that would get other people to notice that if they didn't already notice that this was going on. But
I chose surrender.
But we need more of that, and you're right.
Yeah.
One comment maybe on the hashtag is that people were posting the hashtag even in February, but they weren't posting it to other hashtags.
Right.
And so people didn't know the Ontology Summit hashtag itself. They weren't learning about it because it wasn't cross-posted.
Thanks for bringing that up, Bob.
Yeah,
these are things that we're not naturally great at, so we need pushing. Peter?
Yeah, for those who are familiar with this story, I insisted on using Ontology Summit 2013 as the hashtag. Of course, the downside of it is way too long. Ontology does not have that kind of prominence. If we call it like OS 13, nobody would know that it's Ontology Summit. They would just think of it as like operating system.
This is why the overlapping hashtags, you need to post to OS 2013 and Ontology and Semantic Technology. And that way people who are following those broader hashtags see that there's stuff with this other hashtag that they might want to check out.
Yeah. Okay.
I actually don't tweet, so I defer to those who do.
I think the other thing there is about how well we've actually worked together. For my mind, it may not feel like that all the time. But the reality is that in this community, and particularly amongst the core people who have been contributing the most, there is a strong level of trust in their abilities, in the openness to new ideas, other ideas than their own, to a sort of collegiate approach to working. There aren't too many places where you find that level of collaboration, and people rather than a sort of a competitive environment. And I'd actually like to congratulate you all on the way that that work has been done. At least everyone in this room, probably everyone on the call, and a few others that haven't been able to make it. There really aren't many places where you get that level of teamwork. Okay. Next year. These are just some how-abouts, I'm not. I mean, feel free to debate them now, but that's not really the purpose. The purpose is really to get you to think yourself about what we might do next year, the traditional innovations to what we've done this year. So what about that we don't wait till November to pick the topic for next year and put ourselves under pressure more or less right at the start? How about we do that before the summer holidays? I'm not suggesting that we would actually do anything. I'm just trying to spoil your summer holidays because I want you to be thinking about this whilst you're lying on the beach or climbing a mountain or whatever else it is that you do. So how about we do that whilst we're also doing the wash up from this summer? How about we actually start in September, but in a low-key way, just using email initially, to try and try to do things in three phases. First phase is just kind of trying to establish a baseline for whatever the topic is that we are. We're trying to gather resources, understand what questions we want to answer, and the direction we want to take. So preparation. Perhaps we'd end that phase. It's always good to have a peek. Yeah.
Matthew, one thing that's occurred to me, and this impacts what you're suggesting, should we reconsider the way that we conduct the summit?
Well, that's kind of what I'm suggesting.
Okay. That might
alter... Are you suggesting more radical?
Well, more radical. Just change it. You know, obviously the hackathon produced a lot of good results. Is there some way that we could move closer to that sort of notion, whatever that might be, and I really do not have a clear idea?
That's kind of what the direction I'm kind of heading, because I think the hackathons have been a big success. And, that preparation phase you want to end each phase with a peak, and I would have thought that a hackathon at the end of that first preparation phase was try to see, well, what can we do now?
Well,
would be a good thing.
One of the intents I might like to get out of a change in structure or organization, whatever, is the ability to convey more information in a collaborative fashion that has allowed people to learn things more quickly. What's out there? What's not out there? What's good? What's wrong? Or whatever.
I'm still
not clear myself.
One of the things that I would see coming out of this early phase. Is literature survey type stuff, so that we've got Zotero lined up and we've got things that we can reference before we start, rather than struggling. Or is that, do you mean something else beyond that as well? I mean, it could be, but
the way the summits have been carried out for how long now?
A long time.
Is that we have a lot of presentations and little discussion, and are we mature enough to minimize the presentation part and jump to the discussion part in a more structured fashion, like you have a ringmaster with a big whip or something?
Hold that thought. That's very nearly what I'm going to. I do think we should have. So phase two, I see as being roughly like the presentation phase that we have at the moment. But hopefully, with having done better preparation, we get, one of the things that I would say about this year's summit is that maybe a quarter, maybe a third of the presentations were misplaced in some way. They weren't bad presentations, but they were a little bit off topic when you think about what you were really looking for if you were the track champion. I would certainly say that for track C. I don't know what how would the other track champions view that? About?
Terry, correct me if I'm wrong. I think track B mostly got what we were looking for.
Okay.
Mostly.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't perfect. I'll agree with that.
It didn't generate the
buzz that we had hoped.
I think that's actually something about this. That is another thing that's characterized this summit is a relatively low level of traffic on the summit email exploder. It's been much lower than, really has been quite low.
Again, it's sort of many people might consider this a boring subject, as you said.
I think it's attracted the dedicated, that's for sure. Yeah. Okay. So the second phase would be much more focused on the sort of presentations, the things where you're trying to get the people at the leading edge to sort of show us the way forward. And then the third phase, which I would like to be longer than we have at the moment, is equivalent to the phase where we produce the communique, but I would like us to broaden the idea and think in terms of deliverables, like... Oh, yeah, okay. but particularly, I've heard a suggestion that perhaps we ought to think about a publication of some sort next year, which I think would be a good thing. That implies something rather larger than just even the substantial communique that we've produced this year. But that would need a longer period of time to produce. It might mean that we need to divide it up so that it would be something with chapters that people took responsibility for, depending on what the topic was. Go on, Terry.
I was going to say, it might be possible just to publish the communique in other media, even as it is right now. It's a good document.
Yeah, no.
Maybe a Sigmod record, for example, or something like just a...
This year's communique isn't going to be the output of next year's summit. So I'm talking about I'm not talking about what we might do with this year's communique, because I agree.
I understand. I'm saying we can do it. That might be an example or a prototype.
We've traditionally published the communique in Applied Ontology in any case, so it has been published historically. I'm thinking of something more substantial, something that might be closer to a book than a paper. Yep, a book of papers, perhaps, depending on what the topic was. I mean, what's the appropriate deliverable will depend on what the topic is that we pick. And of course, there would be there would be an emphasis on hackathons as well at that stage, which again might get reported in the in that publication, whatever it was, in a bigger way. So, just thinking about that, and obviously you still have the symposium at the end when you pull the whole thing together, and make sure that we're endorsing and getting together in the usual way. Those are just ideas. Like I said, particularly if you think they're bad ones, you ought to show up at the wrap up sessions to make sure they don't happen. But I just want you to think, and please go away and think. You've probably got better ideas than I've just had, but I think we should think about this and try to innovate rather than regurgitate what we've been doing. Yes.
I have a comment from a while ago at the end of Mike's presentation, but it's relevant here. I think it was sort of an idea and a question at the same time. We've had some really interesting, successful hackathons. Are there plans among those people to continue working? Why not? And it's a good way of
advertising ourselves on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the ISO 15926 group, and they said as well, I know they're planning to do more. I'm sure that FIBO are as well.
FIBO is the ontology of ontology evaluation is the website hacking definition.
So we've got a
pretty
good...
Ontohub is, so the... Right.
Yeah.
So BackNet is, so almost all of them.
So they've all actually started initiatives, or almost all of them have started initiatives. So I think that speaks for itself. So I would expect that to happen. I hope that will happen. And we should provide space for that as well. Because this is one of the things when you're... If you're looking at a rolling program... It's always good that it should include a bit that allows you to tidy up what you did in the last part, plans ahead for what you're going to do next, not just what you're doing this phase, but then, of course, the meat is, what are we focusing on this phase? And that's just a general good practice approach to doing things, which enables you not to leave holes in what you're doing. Yes, right.
And a question in terms of... all this is great. The whole effort here is really fantastic. But the key issue also is for the future in terms of, that you can't do anything without money.
Okay.
That's a major thing. Funding is a big thing. So the thing is that we need to kind of figure out how we can turn this into funding opportunities also to agencies, especially in the United States. Plus, we don't know how it works in other parts of the world, but here... That's a major aspect of it. So on that basis, maybe one of the things that we might want to target next year is something which would be of interest to funding agencies, a topic which is very relevant in terms of... pardon?
Well, we sort of tried that last year with ontologies for big systems.
You said big systems instead of big data. That was the issue there.
Oh, didn't we change that? To include both?
The title was in place before we knew what we were doing.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I'm just saying that you keep that in mind so that when we are discussing, deliberating the topic as such, and there has to be some way of, like, for example, you've done in the hackathons, there are a lot of things which came out of the hackathons around this time. So what is a useful product out there that could be sold is a question, okay? I mean, not commercially, I'm talking about today.
Yeah, and there's another thing that comes out of that is that if we're spreading it out a little bit, you expect some gaps because I don't think it's reasonable to ask people to contribute more than they are at the moment over a year as a whole. But what I'm partly proposing is spurt. Several spurts rather than one marathon. So several sprints rather than one marathon is kind of part of what I'm proposing.
Because one of the things that I saw in the chat is Amanda and I guess Frank's some discussion there in terms of the kinds of things that are in psych. Okay, if they're already there, why would NSF fund it? Kind of. Okay, so we have to be careful in terms of how you say these things. If it's already there, then why should it be funded? Was a question. Okay, pardon?
Yeah, I responded to that in the chat, so I'll take more on that.
Okay, I think that was what I had to suggest here.
So,
yes.
One other suggestion, maybe I'm not sure if it's realistic, but how about having on the Ontolog forum a discussion generated by a question about why people attended or not attended.
I think that I'd rather we did that on the Ontology Summit
forum,
because I think some separation between the Ontolog Forum and on the Ontology Summit, I think is a good thing here. Sorry.
Quick question.
Yeah, I'd just like to invite everyone on May 16th. That's in 2 weeks during our regular time of 12:30 Eastern Daylight Time. We will be having a kind of a follow-up session about the summit this year. I think Matthew kicked it off with a lot of his points. You have to make sure you make some slides up for that thing. And so that will be the topic for the May 16th session. It will be this kind of discussion over, you know, what to do next year, not only in terms of structure, but also we'll allocate some period of time during that session for brainstorming for topics and also for other ideas. As I said, I think one of the things that's come through right now has been this idea of starting earlier. So we may, in fact, try to have a more accelerated topic selection period. And so we'd be able to start with a topic in September. So, yeah, so this will be so all the stuff that people are thinking about now, and definitely we'll bring that to that May 16th session.
Quick question for Matthew. Matthew, can I confidently infer from what I've just heard you say that you were not disappointed with the results of this summit?
I'm delighted with the results of this summit. It's for me, it's been the best one. There's just no question about that. The communique and the way that we've moved the topic forward, and a difficult topic. We didn't pick stuff that was easy. We didn't spend our times talking across each other and at each other. We worked together. We delivered something. I'm just really impressed.
So any last words from anyone?
This is actually a logistical question before we adjourn. I had an offline question about whether the remote participation will continue to be enabled for the Birds of a Feather session after this.
Okay. So I guess so, yeah.
Yes, it will. Okay.
I did tell Joe that it does not need to be recorded, but he did not ask me, and I did not say whether we continue the phone call.
Let's
find out who is on the call, who plans to stay for the Birds of a Feather session, particularly on ontology of ontology evaluation.
Yeah.
If you're on the call,
raise your hand.
Yeah, raise your hand or say something.
Yeah, raise your hand. That's the easiest way you can count.
Mike Dean, Ali Hashemi. Okay, so we know we want to continue the call then. Stay put. If we run into trouble, we'll let you know on the chat board.
Okay.
Otherwise, stay there.
So you want to
yes, if you please.
So I just want to conclude then with a list of thank yous. First of all, for his inexhaustible source of time and energy, without which I don't think any of this could ever happen, Peter Yim. Especially tolerant with all the very late submissions and getting them up on the pages, as we cannot do it without you. also to thank Mike Dean and Ram Sri Ram for organizing and planning the symposium. I think this was a great couple of days. Mom laughed, but Mike's online. And also thanks to NIST for hosting us yet again. Again, great place to work. And also thanks to Kent State University for sponsoring our lunch yesterday.
And I think most of all to Michael and Matthew for providing the leadership, getting us through these few exhausting but very challenging and gratifying months.
And then just thanks to all the track champions also, because I think that was also a herding cats exercise at points. And thank you very much for organizing all of the four tracks and also for organizing the hackathons. Thanks to Amanda and Fabian for an amazing communique. And last of all, thanks to everyone for participating, everyone here physically and everyone online. As Matthew said, I think this has been one of the most successful ontology summits and symposium. So thanks to everyone for participating. And again, encouraging everyone to attend the May 16th session, where there will be, and we will have time allocated to brainstorming for topics for next year's symposium. I have a few ideas, and that will be also one of the outcomes there. So see everyone on May 16th.
Do we start right away, or do we break for 10 minutes?
Yeah,
10 minutes. Okay. 10 minutes. So the NIST clock is 3:50 Eastern now, so we reassemble in 10 minutes.
I think one of the things we need.